Jeremiah chapter 9, that's where we're going to be looking at a few things this morning. I'm well aware of the time, but I believe that God is going to bless us through his word this morning. Jeremiah chapter 9 from verse 23. He said, "Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart." All the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. In the passage we have just read, God gave us things that we should delight in. If there is anything that should make us happy, is that we understand God and that we know him. If there's anything that should make us happy in this world, that we understand God and that we know him. I'm going to talk to us about essential knowledge. Essential knowledge. Of course, you will agree with me that all of us here, to the glory of God, we are products of knowledge, one way or the other. Because knowledge, they say, is what? Is power. Knowledge, they say, is what? Is power. Even in the things of the kingdom, knowledge is what? Is also power. There is a saying in Yoruba land, that learning makes one the boss, if I can put it that way, in a very crude way. According to Sonidoga, so learning makes you the boss. In other words, knowledge is what? Is power. In the spiritual realm, learning to know God makes you the boss also. It makes you the boss in the spiritual realm. It also makes you the boss even in the physical realm too. Remember Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. The Bible tells us that he has made us priests and kings, that we should do what? Reign in the earth. This knowledge of God also makes us the boss over life's circumstances too. But what we often find with us Christians is that even when we've been made to rule and reign over certain things or circumstances, either because we've forgotten or because we are not aware of it. We are generally not able to exercise the authority that God has conferred on us by reason of our knowledge of Him. Or, even when we are aware, we do not exercise our authority to the extent possible because of the limitation that has been put on us by our level of knowledge of what is possible in God. Open with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1, that is where we're going to be looking at one or two things there. Like I've said to us, we may actually be in control and not realize that we are in control simply because we don't have knowledge, or simply because we are not even aware of the extent of the authority that has been given to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, Peter wrote this. And I believe he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells me that all the scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, this epistle is written to you and I. Everyone who has obtained his faith, just the way you and I have obtained our faith through Jesus Christ. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Most of what I'm going to share with us is from here this morning. The word knowledge is coming over and over again. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied. He didn't say grace and peace be added to you. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. But he says there is a channel for the multiplication of faith, of grace and peace in your life. He said that channel is what? It's knowledge. He said through is going to pass through the knowledge. The level of knowledge you have about God and his provision for your life is very important. It's going to come through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. In other words, it will not be wrong to say the more we know of God, the more the abundance of his grace and his peace in our lives. And I'm sure as soon as I say this, some of us are going to be asking questions, especially when I talk about peace. Praise the Lord. So in other words, if we want our life to be full of grace and peace, we need to soak ourselves in the knowledge of God. Because spiritual knowledge is the key to God's abundance. The grace that is going to be multiplied to you is the grace that is necessary for you to do what you need to do to accomplish that which you need to accomplish. To the extent that you see the promises of God applies to you. If when we talk about the promises of God, you don't think they apply to you, then it becomes difficult for you to move into the reality of what these promises can achieve in your life. In John chapter 6, verse 63, that we know very well, the Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. He said, the flesh profited nothing. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickens us. It is the Spirit that quickens us to be able to apprehend the promises of God for our lives. It is the Spirit of God that quickens us to become what God says is possible for us to become in Him. It is the Spirit that quickens us to recapture every lost ground in our lives. Just reading and being aware is not enough. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit to quicken us. Because He said the flesh profited nothing. That is, whatever we are going to do through our own strength, through our own striving, through our own abilities, is not going to take us to how far God intends to take you and I. We need to depend upon the Spirit of God to move us forward, to push us, to lift us to where God intends for our lives. So in other words, what I'm saying is that it is the Spirit of God that transforms head knowledge to revelational knowledge. Without it, we will recite verses. We will read Bible like novels. We will do all the things we are doing right now. And it will amount to nothing. It takes the Spirit of God to translate what appears intangible to some people and make it substantial and make it tangible in our lives. In other words, we go from mere understanding to actually being able to see and make a substance of these things that God has promised us. I remember we talked a lot about how far people see at the House Fellowship last Tuesday. We said the distance from which individuals would see varies. That some people, if things don't come right before their nose, they will never see. Meanwhile, some people will see from afar off. That is the way of the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God that quickens us to be able to see from afar off what God has promised us. In other words, it translates our head knowledge to a functional knowledge. That is, we begin to live in the reality of what God is talking about. Let me tell you something. If all the things that the Bible, all the promises that the Bible talks to us about, if we actually see it, for example, if God says you are a king, as the word of God says we are, and in truth, Somebody set up a throne for you. They prepare a throne for you with all the paraphernalia of office. What do you think will happen? You begin to behave like a king. You wear the robe of a king. You will dress like a king. You know, my wife likes to, you know, she likes to talk about the royal family. Particularly their dressing. She talks about the fact that, look, she said, look, do you know just being born there, just being born into that family, just it suddenly makes you wealthy. Each of those kids, I'm sure none of them is worth less than maybe 500 million. Just for being born into that family. Yet, you will see only the aberrant ones will dress. Have you ever seen them with, you know, those kind of dressing that will expose their this thing? Only very few. There are one or two of them. Not that they actually dress that way, but because of their behavior. I'm not going to mention names, but you know, if you follow them, you know who I'm talking about. Why don't they do so? They have that money. It is because physically they can see themselves as belonging to the royal family. They can physically see that they belong to the royal family. In other words, you and I, when we begin to see in the realm of the spirit, we begin to live like that as if it is tangible and is already in our hands. It is the Spirit of God that does that. That translates that which is a promise into reality in our lives, even before we take hold of it. And that is why, don't be surprised sometimes when you tell some people some things, when there's a discussion on something and you bring the angle of the knowledge of God that you have into it. And when they respond to what's going on, you'll be wondering in your mind, you'll be asking, you say, look, don't you get it? Can't you see what I'm seeing? You know, can't you see this is where this is going to end? It is simply because if you don't have the Spirit of God to help you convert, you know, and open your spiritual eyes to see. It may look so glaring to you, it will not be so glaring to that person, to the other person concerned. It is because they cannot see what you are seeing. The way God showed me is this. God showed me a clip of this movie, Chronicles of Narnia. You remember? You will remember that those children, when they were, was it in the professor's house on holidays? And they got into the wardrobe. What happened? They just enter the wardrobe and open another door and they enter into a different realm. And as I was preparing the message, honestly, it's a unique experience for me as a person, as I was preparing it, that God just showed me that door. You just open it and you enter into a different realm. And that becomes your reality. And you know the thing about the reality you enter into is that reality that you enter into can supersede the reality of the physical that you see now. It has the ability to convert the physical into the reality that you see in your mind based on the word of God. You will remember that when those children got into that place, the world they knew was all. That was the world they knew. And God is wanting you and I to enter into another reality, the reality of the word of God, to just go behind that wardrobe and open the door and just enter into it and begin to live it. Because there is inherent ability in the word for multiplication. That's what we have just read this morning. He said, the knowledge. He said, that the grace and the peace of God be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus. The word has that ability to multiply that grace upon you and I. That will make us to live and to prosper. There are certain conditions for living and prospering. I mean, for living in peace. Because I know people will be asking me questions. Say, well, but we often say that, you know, there will be trial, there will be tribulation, there will be, you know. There are different conditions for living in peace. You will live in peace if you already have that which you want, right? That's one condition. You will live in peace if you don't have. You may not have it, but if you have a hope that you are going to have. The other thing is this. You will live in peace when you have something greater than what you don't have. But usually what you have can be converted to what you don't have. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I want to read to us from New Living Translation, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 25. It says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. When that day comes, when God really wants to reveal whose children his children really are, where will you be? He said, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Now look at this. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And verse 23 says something. And we believers also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full right as his adopted children, including the new body he has promised us. That bigger hope is enough or should be enough to restore our peace in the times of trouble. Because he says, even though we have the Holy Spirit right now, as a foretaste, as something just to let us know what it's going to be like, we have not yet seen the real thing. The real thing will come, which is bigger than what we are experiencing now. But because we already have a foretaste of what is to come, it should give us that hope. He said, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full right as his adopted children, including the new body he has promised us. He said, we were given this hope when we were saved. So the day you became born again was the day you received this hope. This great and big hope that is bigger than everything that circumstance of life can bring before you.
He said, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. We must wait patiently and what? Confidently. That is how we obtain our peace. Because we know that we have something that is bigger than that which we are chasing right now. Everything we may be chasing right now, we have something, you already have something in your hand that is bigger than what you are chasing. And the thing about what you have that Jesus has done for you is the fact that what you have can be converted to what you don't have. It takes us believing him and holding him to his word. The same verse 3 in 2 Peter. And verse 3 in 2 Peter says, he said, according as his divine power had given us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. His divine power has given us what? All things that pertains to what? Life and godliness. In other words, again, he said, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Again, it's through knowledge. It's through you becoming aware of it that this is a possibility in your life. He said, he has given us, by his divine power, he has given us all things that pertains to life. In other words, welfare. All the things he's giving you is not for heaven. You think it's for heaven? No. In heaven, we were talking this morning. We were talking about party in heaven. It's not going to end. So it's not heaven that we need this thing that he has given to us. He said he has given us all things that pertains to life. Everything that we need to make it is embedded in Jesus Christ. That pertains to our welfare. Every ingredient that is needed, you know, for us to live well, he says, is embedded in Jesus Christ. And he has also given us all things that pertains to godliness. That is sanctification. Everything that is needed for us to live godly is also embedded in Jesus Christ. It says what it takes is your knowing it. It says through what? Through the knowledge. It's just being aware of it, knowing it, and living in the consciousness of what Jesus has done. So in other words, what we are saying, everything that pertains to your marriage, your children, your houses, your finance, your protection, your support is already embedded in Jesus, in that package that he gave. But God can only deal with us according to the measure of our knowledge of him. That is often this stumbling block. He can only deal with us according to the knowledge, our knowledge of him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 4. Paul was talking to the Corinthians and he said something. He was telling them how much their knowledge of God was putting limitation on them, on their advancements in the things of God. He just said to them, he said, However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. As to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are all still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are ye not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? In other words, Paul was telling them, he said, look, the limitation on you is the level at which you are operating right now. In other words, if you change your mind and you choose to operate at another level, the grace of God begins to multiply unto you. That if you make up your mind now and say, Lord, this is where I want to function. This is the level at which I want to operate with you. It's saying, look, things will change for you. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Is it the same God you knew when you were born again? Is it the same? Is your knowledge of him still the same? Or has it grown? Or has it even gone backwards? Has it gone backwards? Because the world keeps moving. If your knowledge remains the same, the day you were born again, then you will probably move backward. We talked about, backsliding as not necessarily having left the Lord, right? That if you are operating at a particular level before and you are no longer operating at that level, you've gone backwards. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says something, and I like it from New Living Translation. It says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. They don't know how big I am. They don't know of my power. They don't know of the things that I can do. They don't know that I can deliver. They don't know that I can heal. They don't know that I can take them from their current situation and put them somewhere. He said, because they don't know me. But who did he call them? It's my people, his own people. Those of us that are called by his name. He said, well, they still perish because they don't know me. But yet they are his people. Yet we are his people. In other words, there is a measure of knowledge that God expects us to have. And yet we are not operating there yet. And so the enemy can come in and plunder us. Because they don't know me. He said, since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as priests. And then we say there are no more miracles in our midst. Can we see why? It's not a knowing of reciting the word. I will show it to you later. It's not a knowing of reciting the word. He said, because since you priests don't know me, refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as priest. In other words, signs and wonders will not follow you. When you speak, it's going to be empty barrel making the loudest noise. When you speak, you will only dance around and do things. He said nothing. And people know that nothing is happening. And I also learned something of God. That he said there. He said, since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children. So God can forget. So it is possible for God to forget. Just like he forgets our sin when we come to him, he can forget to bless. He said, and I will also forget to bless your children. Not only will I not recognize you as priest, because if he recognizes you as priest, blessings will have to follow you. Because if you stand in his presence, you cannot stand in his presence and it will not command blessings unto you. He said, because you don't know me. And go and read, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25 of that place. The reason why God is saying he will not bless them is this. He said, because you refuse to know me. Not that they don't know the word of God. They know all the laws. But he says in verse 25, in verse 26, he said, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised. Okay? They are physically uncircumcised. He said, and all house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. So, Anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord and will not be circumcised in the heart, the glory of God will not follow them.
The glory of God will follow you in Jesus' name.
They are priests called by the name of God. He said, but I will not recognize you as priests. No way. You will bear the name. You will bear the title. You bear brother. You bear sister. You bear reverend. You bear bishop. You bear evangelist. You bear apostle. You bear whatever. He said, but I will not recognize you.
Heaven will recognize you in Jesus' name.
He even says something. If you read Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, he said, the children of Israel, they were enthusiastic. They had the zeal, but no knowledge. In other words, zeal is not enough. It's crossing, just enter the wardrobe and go into the realm of the spirit, go into another world. That is where it is. Allowing God to have his way. You will know when you start to have knowledge of God. When you know, you will know when you start to have catch revelation of God. You become a doer of the word. That's what happens. Because it's so much of a reality, because that is where you are living. That is the world you are living in. How can you not obey? Because it's a reality to you. To some people, it's not a reality. Some people don't mind. They may be married. When they get to a new place, for that short period, maybe 3 months or so, they will look for someone else. Because their reality is to gratify the body and its desires. But for you, that is not your reality. When you come, you know that you have a... If I will fall out of favor with God, I dare not. Some people will do... Some people, they're in the office, they know what they can do and get away with it, so to say. But because your reality is so different and you live in a different reality, you cannot. Because you know you will fall out of favor with him.
You will not fall out of favor with God in Jesus' name. I think I will close here. I just want us to know that the name Jesus was given to Jesus because the Bible says, for he will save his people. He will save his people. There is power in that name, the ability to save. And in Galatians 3, verse 19, the Bible says that he is the seed. Can we just quickly look at that in closing? Galatians 3, verse 19. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Till the what? The seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Till the seed should come. In other words, till Jesus should come. And you know what? There's something about seeds. Those of us who have done a little bit of farming, when you plant a seed, you need to join another seed to it for it to grow the tree or whatever plant you want it to grow. So what about seed? It's often complete. Jesus came through a woman, didn't need a man, and he was complete. There's the completeness of the glory of God in Jesus for your life. That everything that is needed, because that's what the Bible says, he's a seed. That was the seed of the woman that was meant to bruise the head of the serpent. That's Jesus. He came. And there's the completeness of everything that pertains to life and godliness for you and I in him. No other seed need be planted. No seed of craftiness. No seed of deceit. No seed. You don't need it. All that you need is the seed of God planted in you. And because he says he is the word and he's alive in you. I think we should close now, because there's many more things I would really want to say to us this morning, you know, but I just want us to go home and know that Jesus is that seed. hand, Jesus is complete. And if he's growing in you, you are what? You are complete. In all that pertains to life and godliness. Can we rise on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Because we know we are completing you. Please, can we quickly bring the bread and the elements and the wine, please?